Happy Halloween! It is Friday night, and this is your AEW Rampage review for Friday, October 29th, 2021. You know, it was going to be hard to top that women's match that we had on Dynamite the other night with Serena Deeb and Hikaru Shida in the TBS title tournament. It's the best AEW women's match in forever. And the best match on Wednesday, it was the best match all week that I saw. But Bryan Danielson and Eddie Kingston did just that tonight in their world title eliminator semifinal match. I heard the hype after the match was taped on Wednesday. I know some people who might be joining us in the chat even were at the show in Boston. They said, man, you got to see this match. You have got to go ahead and make sure you watch Bryan Danielson one-on-one with Eddie Kingston. Those two guys had a banger of a match. The hype was real a few weeks ago when I heard that from people who said, I got to see Pac and Andrade part two. And they went out there and they killed it. And so did these two tonight. It absolutely lived up to the hype. And then in the main event, we had a trick-or-treat match with Britt Baker and Abaddon. Abaddon, who I guess her whole gimmick really fits this time of year. Unfortunately, not exactly the strongest main event. It was not the prettiest match. And, you know, somebody in the chat a little while ago asked, you know, how come they seem to do these matches backwards on Rampage, where they take the big match, the main event, and they usually put it on first? Well, it's because they're taping a lot of television. And so they figure by the end of Rampage, people are going to be completely exhausted. And so if you have a big match, you do that first. That way you can get the crowd when they're still kind of energetic. They didn't have that issue in Boston. The crowd was up for the entire show, but that's the reason they do it, because they don't want to wait until the very end and everybody's like, yeah, you know, they've been sitting there for so long. So that's why they kind of do things in reverse. And for those of us joining on the stream tonight who are channel members, whether it's as a Sound Off Superstar or Sound Off Legend, I want to make sure you guys are aware of the fact that part two of the members only Q&A this week is now up. I was going to wait until tomorrow, but I said, fuck it, we'll get it up a day early. So we had over 40 minutes of audio and video the other day. You got another 34 minutes of video today answering your questions. And that's not all. For those of us on the Legends tier, I posted episode 12 of the Lost Episodes, retro episode number 12. This is the episode that was recorded the day of the Royal Rumble in 2008, and it was so interesting going back and listening to this, because I completely forgot that I even talked about this. But if you were wondering what yours truly thought of First Blood, the very first Rambo movie, which I had only seen at that time, it was the first time I ever saw First Blood. I had to watch it in preparation for what at the time was Sylvester Stallone's brand new Rambo movie that I went and saw. So you get some Rambo commentary from Solomonster on episode 12. So those are for the Legends tier members. Just a little something-something for our Sound Off family here on YouTube. So just wanted to let you guys know about that. We open with the American Dragon, Bryan Danielson, one-on-one against Eddie Kingston, semifinal round match. In the world title eliminator, with the winner advancing to the finals at Full Gear to meet the winner of the Jon Moxley Orange Cassidy match, which is coming up this week. We had dueling chants at the start. You know, again, sometimes on these Rampage shows, you get a crowd that, you know, they're kind of quiet, whatever. They've seen all the big matches already on Dynamite. They just want to get this over with and get out of there. But this crowd was amped up. Let's go, Bryan. Let's go, Eddie. Dueling chants for both guys. Kingston backed him up into the ropes for a hard shot, and Danielson caught him with kicks and chops of his own, and Eddie reversed with some machine gun chops, chopping the shit out of this guy. Danielson's chest looked like raw lunch meat from school. It was the broken blood vessels and everything. Danielson, his chest took a beating in this match. He came back with a flying clothesline, corner drop kick, and Eddie rolls out to the floor, and he's very frustrated. And this is a theme that would continue even after the end of the match. And I'm going to talk about it here because I think it might be leading to something very cool. But Eddie is very frustrated. He's throwing a chair around outside. He can't figure this guy out. Back inside, Danielson starts working over Kingston's arm. They have a headbutt exchange. Eddie hits a flying dropkick. Got a nice reaction. So they go to break, and they come back. Kingston was in control. Brian starts firing back, and Eddie, to cut this guy off, thumbs him right in the eye. Nice old-school heel move there. Kingston ends up out on the floor. Danielson is on the apron. He's running off the apron. He's going to do a running knee off the apron. And as he comes off, he gets caught with a forearm on the way down. And Kingston hits a Saito suplex on the floor. They tease the count out. It was a great count out tease here. Brian got up. He was about to get back in the ring at 8. Then he collapsed back to the floor. Excalibur said, oh my God, this is going to be it. This is going to be over. Of course, Brian got back into the ring at the last second. And eats another Saito suplex. So he was targeting the neck. Was Eddie Kingston here? Only got a near fall out of it. More chops to the chest, and Danielson's, again, his chest looked just completely brutalized here. Kingston tried for a superplex. Danielson knocked him down. And Kingston looked up at Brian on the ropes and just caught him right in the jaw with a palm strike and rocked this dude. Kingston again tries for a superplex, but Brian slips out, and he hits a high-angle back suplex all the way down to the mat. I guess kind of a Saito suplex of his own. We got a chop fest, then we got some kicks. Eddie's on his knees now. Here come the yes kicks from Danielson, and the final one clipped him right on the side of the head. Danielson hits the corner, and he's setting up for the running knee. And he comes in, and as he's coming in, Kingston just collapses. He just collapses to the mat. It's like Diesel trying to finish off Bret Hart at the Survivor Series all those years ago. He's going for the jackknife, and Bret just collapses to the mat. Of course, Bret wanted to lull him into a false sense of security before he beat him, which is kind of what Brian did here. Or Kingston, I should say. He was trying to save himself. Eddie powers out of an armbar, hits a DDT, and we got a double down, both guys down, and they got a standing ovation. Both guys get a standing ovation from the audience. 15-minute time call by Justin Roberts. Didn't feel like 15 minutes. Danielson blocks an enziguri. Kingston catches him with a spinning back fist. And actually, this is where the crowd just rose to their feet in appreciation for what they were seeing here in this match. They were eating this up. They were eating up every single thing these two guys were doing. Kingston crawled over to Danielson, and Danielson sunk in a triangle choke. Eddie gave him the middle finger. That's what Lesnar did to The Undertaker in their match. Actually, this is the same exact spot. This was the finish to the match. It's SummerSlam in 2015 between Brock Lesnar and The Undertaker, where Undertaker got the triangle choke locked on. Brock's not going to tap. He flips him off. Gives him the middle finger, passes out, referee calls for the bell. Exact same finish here. Kingston flipped him off, he passed out, referee called for the bell, and Brian Danielson advances to the finals of the tournament at Full Gear. Ooh, look at that spooky son of a bitch. Look at this. Old Dirty Sausage just dropped a brand new $15 Super chat. Actually, that freaked the hell out of me. That's the new one right there. Thank you, Old Dirty Sausage. So during the break, Brian went to go shake hands. They came back from commercial and they showed during the break, Brian wanted a handshake, right? He just wants to shake the man's hand for a job well done and a great battle between two warriors. Eddie, though, leaves the ring. You know, Eddie's a proud man. He's got a lot of pride. Like a lot of us New Yorkers do. So he leaves, obviously not happy about having the match stop that way. This was a fantastic professional wrestling match. This was every bit as good as people said it was going to be. I thoroughly enjoyed this. And Brian Danielson's great run of matches so far in his short career in AEW continues. This man has an unblemished record. I don't mean wins and losses. I mean, in terms of him going out there and having kick-ass wrestling matches, whether it's with Kenny Omega or Eddie Kingston or Dustin Rhodes or anybody else for that matter. This man is perfect so far in his AEW run, and I also love the fact that every single one of his matches have ended in a different way. I don't know how long that can continue for, but every single match that he has won with a different finish. No one match, no one finish to a Danielson match has been the same. I like that. And now he moves on to the finals of Full Gear. I would imagine that that match is not going to be any different. As great as this match was, I have high hopes for the main event of this tournament at Full Gear. It's going to be against Jon Moxley. It's not a done deal yet, but let's be honest, it's going to be against Jon Moxley. I think we all know that. So tonight, I think, is going to go down as the second best match of this tournament, second only to what we're going to get with Mox and Bryan at Full Gear. I think those two are going to go out there. You know, we've seen Moxley on TV. He comes out, no nonsense. He's got this attitude about him, very heelish. He's been coming out the last few weeks. I think he's going to beat the fuck out of Orange Cassidy on TV next week. We're going to get that version of Moxley in there against Dragon at Full Gear, and I think it's going to be great. But Tony Schiavone was backstage with CM Punk. Quiet in there. I got Robin locked in the closet over here. It's pissing me off, little bastard. Shut up! Fucking asshole. So Tony Schiavone was backstage with CM Punk. Got to get CM Punk on the show so we can advertise a CM Punk appearance on Rampage. I see what you're doing, Tony. Not this Tony, the other Tony. Schiavone was talking about Punk's 5-0 record so far in AEW. As he is interviewing Punk, or trying to interview Punk, they're interrupted by a commotion in the back, and it's Eddie Kingston. You can hear Eddie Kingston in the background. He is screaming. He is not in a very good mood. He's not a very happy man. He is not happy with the way that his match ended with Bryan Danielson. And Punk can't concentrate on his promo. What's going on? Kingston comes over. He thinks that Punk has a smile on his face. And that doesn't sit well with him. So he goes over to Punk, and he's screaming at Punk, getting up in his face, and Punk is calling him unprofessional and saying, you know, I'll put you to sleep again. You want to go to sleep? I'll put you to sleep again. And, you know, officials kind of usher Eddie Kingston off. So it looks like CM Punk has found his opponent for Full Gear, which gives them all of 2 weeks to hype up this match. 2 weeks is all that they need. They're not going to need any more than that. That means we're in for 2 weeks worth of great fucking promos and promo packages on TV. I look forward to it. As great as Danielson and Eddie were tonight in the ring, maybe they will end up having the better actual match. But I think in terms of building to the match, Punk and Eddie Kingston is going to be great. Second only probably to how great it would be to get Punk and MJF in terms of the war awards those two are eventually going to have on TV. But another idea strikes me. Punk has talked a lot. If you have listened to his interviews, he's been, you know, going around doing a lot of interviews. And he has openly talked about wanting to work with Dragon. He wants to work with Danielson, whether it's against each other, whether they're a tag team. Eddie was teasing a heel turn here on the show tonight. Doesn't mean he's going full heel. I mean, look, the guy lost and he was in a bad mood. It doesn't automatically mean he's a heel. But he was certainly teasing it. And there's been a lot of talk about the possibility of Jon Moxley also going heel. So I think if, in fact, that is what ends up happening, we could very well end up post Full Gear with a tag team match, maybe even on TV. We could get Jon Moxley and Eddie Kingston, the newly minted heel duo, in a tag match against CM Punk and Bryan Danielson. I think that tag team match is coming. So as much as I am looking forward to the one-on-one match with Punk and Eddie, and for that matter, Danielson and Moxley at the pay-per-view, that tag match, I think, is going to be pretty cool, too. But I think that's where we're headed. So now we had Dante Martin one-on-one against Matt Sydal, round three. I believe Sydal won the first two battles between them. Of course, Lio Rush was out there in Dante's corner. This was supposed to be a tag team match. It was going to be Dante Martin and Lio Rush making his in-ring debut against Matt and Mike Sydal. They said on Dynamite Wednesday that Mike was injured. I don't know if that's a legitimate injury. I believe it's a storyline injury because I think Mike Sydal is wrestling independent dates. So I don't know what the storyline is exactly if he's not hurt. But anyway, we did not get that tag team match. Seidel tried a snapmare on Martin. Martin, though, landed on his feet. After some back and forth between the two of them, Dante hit a springboard shotgun dropkick off the top that sent Seidel out to the floor, and Dante followed that up with a springboard moonsault to the floor. Show went to picture and picture at that point. It's always fun to watch Dante Martin fly around. It's like a Ricochet match. I call it a video game match because the guy's flying around all over the place. You can't even keep track of what he's doing, but he does things that, you know, a human being should not be able to do. He's a lot of fun to watch. Come back from break. Dante hits a standing double foot stomp to the chest for a near fall. From a standing position, got some height on that. He gets caught on the top rope by Seidel. Seidel catches him with the top rope. Rana takes him all the way over down to the mat. And Dante got a crucifix for a near fall. Seidel went for the lightning spiral, but Martin flipped through it and landed on his feet. And Martin came off the top rope with a double jump moonsault off the ropes. Again, I don't know how he pulls that off. Takes some great balance on his part to do the double jump off the ropes. Beautiful moonsault. He lands it. 1, 2, 3. And Dante Martin finally picks up the win. This pleased Leo Rush. He was very happy to see his man pick up the win here. This was enjoyable for what it was. I thought this was good. I like the fact that Dante Martin's been getting a lot of TV time. You know, Daniel Garcia also is another one. He's gotten a lot of TV time. These are some of the young names that they're building up here on the AEW roster. And they've used Rampage, I think, even more than Dynamite to spotlight some of the younger guys, which is kind of what I figured they would use Rampage for. Yeah, I figured after a while, it would kind of settle into this pattern where they'll put some of the younger, less established guys on TV. You put one big main event on the show each week. That seems to be the formula for the Friday show. Mark Henry was back. He's been missing the last couple of weeks. They took him off commentary. He didn't do his usual backstage interview gig last week. So Mark Henry was back, and he was doing his split screen before the main event, interview with Britt Baker and Abaddon. He asked Abaddon a question, and Abaddon just squealed and puked up blood. Give that woman a COVID test. The main event was Britt Baker against Abaddon, non-title, in a trick-or-treat match. If this were WWE, they would call it a trick-or-street fight. Who is this? This is Jeffrey. Dropping $15 with the brand new $15 Super Chat. I call that the Myers Super Chat. Batman against Michael Myers. That would be an interesting match. I'm a Michael Myers guy. Although, I guess I'm a Batman guy tonight. There you go. I am the Bat. Main event was also no disqualification. Stipulation is that if Abaddon wins, she earns a future Women's World Championship match. Abaddon, at the beginning, screamed at Britt Baker. And she got scared and retreated into the corner. She kicked Britt, hit a stunner. And Baker went outside to the floor. Jamie Hayter was out there. Rebel was out there. And they fished out a table from underneath the ring and a chair. Abaddon was just standing in the ring during all of this. They threw to the final commercial break of the night. We come back from break. Abaddon hits a running senton onto Britt Baker, who had a chair placed over her body. Abaddon dragged Baker out onto the apron. And she was trying to do a maneuver off the apron. There was a table before the break that the heels had pulled out. Well, the table was set up outside the ring. Abaddon was trying to go for something, but Britt Baker got a swinging neck breaker off the apron. The problem is, the table did not break. The table didn't get the memo. So the women bounced. They slid off the table. We had an I am the table moment here on Rampage. Britt Baker doing her best Sabu impression. She was determined to break this fucker no matter what. Picks up Abaddon, tries to suplex her onto the table, and the table barely bent. The table again did not break. So they gave up, and Abaddon, a short time later, grabbed a small sack, someone's sack, from underneath the ring, and she brought the sack inside, and the sack was full of thumbtacks. She spread them out all over the mat. Abaddon gives Britt Baker. Actually, she tried to go for some kind of move, and it got countered, but then Abaddon hits a rock bottom. And Britt Baker, much as she did in her lights-out match earlier this year against Thunder Rosa, she ended up rolling around in the tacks. She took a rock bottom onto thumbtacks, and Abaddon went for the pin, but Britt kicked out at 2.5. Jamie Hayter slid a chair into the ring to Britt, who just threw it right in Abaddon's face. And then she placed Abaddon's neck in the chair and curb stomped the chair. Abaddon no-sold it and sat up. Baker grabbed a fistful of thumbtacks, placed them in Abaddon's mouth, and then delivered a super kick right to the jaw. Baker got the glove. She went to apply lockjaw, but Abaddon bit her fingers, countered her way out of it. Jamie Hayter came into the ring, hit a double sledge to Abaddon from behind. I mean, it was no DQ, so I was left wondering how come she didn't get involved in this match from the start. She should, I mean, based on the rules, could have just made it a handicap match, but they stayed outside the ring right up until the finish. So Hayter hits a sledge from behind. Rebel gets up on the apron, and Abaddon instead goes over and grabs her. Baker, though, rolls up Abaddon into the tacks for the 1-2-3. It wasn't pretty, and I am not a fan of using thumbtacks in a throwaway match like this on TV, which is what this was. I mean, I know it was the main event of the show, but it was a total throwaway match and not a very good one on TV. I mean, kudos to Britt for taking that bump onto the tacks, but using tacks, if you're going to use them, at least use them, I feel, in a bigger match. And when she used them with Thunder Rosa, that was a big deal. That was the first, I believe, the first women's main event on Dynamite. Big stipulation match that had been built up for a while between those two women. So it made sense. And it really elevated Britt Baker to a whole other level because up until that point, we had never seen her take that kind of abuse in a match before. This, to me, just felt tacked up. Well, no pun intended. It felt tacked on. But not a very pretty match. I'll leave it at that. The rest of the show, though, I thought was very good. I enjoyed both matches. Of course, none more so than the opener. The opener fucking rocked. The opener, I thought, was fantastic. Now, AEW is going to be live in Kansas City this Wednesday for Dynamite. We have Cody Rhodes one-on-one against Andrade El Idolo. TBS title tournament first round match. Anna Jay one-on-one against Jamie Hayter. And Jon Moxley takes on Orange Cassidy in the World Title Eliminator semifinals. Rampage next Friday is going to be live from St. Louis. So it's not very often that we get a live Rampage on Friday. We're getting one next week because if you remember, St. Louis was supposed to be the destination for Full Gear. So next weekend originally was going to be a pay-per-view weekend. And we're going to have a live Rampage on Friday and in the same building, a live Full Gear show on Saturday. And then Full Gear got bumped because they're competing that night against the boxing fight and a UFC pay-per-view from Madison Square Garden. So Tony Khan pushed it back by a week. But we're still getting a live Dynamite and Rampage next week. On Rampage, TBS title tournament, The Bunny, one-on-one against Red Velvet. And Adam Cole takes on John Silver of the Dark Order. What do you think, Mike? Huh? What do you think? Mike's just fallen asleep. Look at this guy. Look at this guy. Well, look at that. Chair shot. One of my favorite super chats. Oh, my goodness. Well, let's see here. We got Moxley. Juan Ocampo says Moxley against Pockets. Jim Cornette fan, I see. Yes, that is the big match coming up on Dynamite this Wednesday. Head over to the Twitter poll here. You can always vote at Solomonster. Follow me on there if you are not already doing so. We have 86% thumbs up for tonight's show, 14% thumbs down. It's always an easy watch. It's less than an hour if you take the commercials out. When you have a short show like that with a main event, like the one we had tonight, when I say main event, I'm talking about the opener. I'm not talking about the match that ended the show. The real main event tonight, then this is a thumbs up show. When you get a quality match like that, you can't say it's anything other than a thumbs up. If the show was 3 hours and it was filled with bullshit and you had one good match, that's different. But between the women's match with Shida and Serena on Wednesday and this match tonight with Kingston and Eddie, those are your two best matches of the week right there. And not to take anything away from the ladder match on Raw Monday night, which was the best part of that show. But as far as AEW is concerned, these were the highlights of the week. Let us head over to your Super Chats here. You know, I didn't have a chance to check out the baseball game. I'm wondering who won. I did say, though, Braves in six. That was my prediction on Twitter. In order to do that, I needed a Braves win tonight, but I don't know who won, so keep me posted on that. All right, Super Chat time. Halloween theme, Spooky Chats. Credit to Steve Mello for the great artwork, as always. He is the maestro of all things here, Solomonster, on this channel when it comes to graphics and all the visuals that you see. Getting very festive. Dry Chicken Without Flavor was not able to stay with us tonight, but he wanted to drop a super chat. So if he watches this on the download or the archive, thank you to him. Happy Halloween, he says. Manny D., respect to the Solomonster. Well, thank you, Manny. Respect to you as well. Naif Al-Safar, dropping $19.99 here on a Friday night. And another five saying, my wife has been sick all week. Happy to be back on your stream. And as I said to you in the chat, I hope your wife feels better. Hopefully it's nothing too serious. Nothing that the Cape Crusader, unfortunately, can do anything to help with, but hopefully she'll be feeling better in no time. Joshua Carlos, Ocean Man. Kingston Punk promos would be amazing. Match of Full Gear. That's exactly what we're getting. And again, I think we're going to get a tag match on TV at some point. If they really do go, not even full heel. They don't even really have to go full heel, I don't think. But if Kingston and, you know, Moxley kind of are acting heelish, I think it does lead to a tag team match on TV. You know, again, they're probably going to have some kind of special Winter is Coming type show in December on TNT. It could be there. You could have Punk and Brian tag team partners for the first time in I don't even know how many years. I think that would be a nice attraction for a big episode of Dynamite. Joshua says, I'm convinced Dante Martin is a living video game character. Also, can you name your favorite Friday the 13th films? Always had a soft spot for Part 6. I have two, actually. Part 6 is one of my favorites of the series. I've always said Part 3, where he gets the mask, is my favorite. That also has the ridiculous eyeball kill, where the eyeball pops in. See, it was Friday the 13th 3D. So if you saw it in 3D, the idea is when the eyeball comes out of you, if you got your spiffy glasses on, it looks like it's coming towards you. It still looks ridiculous, though. But I think Part 3 is my favorite. Part, actually, might go Part 3, Part 6. Then you throw Part 4 in there. Part 5 is trash. We don't need to talk about Part 5. Tuxedo T. Servo. Kingston Punk just on promo potential alone. But that was the start of Eddie going heel. Do they need both Eddie and Mox heel? Eddie still gets pops. We're going to have to wait and see if it's full on heel or not. I don't know that they have to go full heel to get to that match that I just talked about. I don't mind it if they want to turn, you know, Moxley heel. Kingston is you know, beloved by the audience. But if you have any doubt about Eddie Kingston's ability to get over as a heel, then you have not followed Eddie Kingston's career. So I don't think a heel Eddie Kingston would be a bad thing. Food Hive. What's going on, Food Hive? The pillars of AEW keep growing. Daniel Garcia and Dante Martin have something to say about it. I feel bad for Dante's brother, the other Tucker. Darius. Yeah, Darius is still out with that knee injury. Darius is the odd man out here. But I think once he's back, I think they'll find a spot for him. I don't think he's going to get left behind the way that Tucker was in WWE, the way that he was sort of cast aside like a leper. Nick Grosso with the $10. Looks like Kingston is turning heel and can see him and Moxley as heels feuding with Brian and Punk. Abaddon is not good. Don't know how she still has a job. Send her to Impact Wrestling. Quintus Brown, Punk against Kingston, take my money. Ace of Masta, happy Halloween weekend. Watch out for thumbtacks in candy. Well, when I was a kid growing up, it was always watch for razor blades. I don't know about you. I never got a razor blade in my candy. I feel left out. Magician Sapphire with the $10. The main event was definitely the low point of the show. Abaddon needs to stay on dark until she gets good. Ace of Masta, Eddie off his Zolofts tonight. Apparently, yes, he missed his dosage. He was in a very bad mood. Old Dirty Sausage, Eddie against Punk, please inject into my veins. Spider Sense. Talking about the wrong superhero. Spider Sense, thank you for the $5. The Batman mask has me thinking, what superhero versus wrestler match would you like to see? Mine is Batman against The Undertaker. Wow, superhero against wrestler. That's interesting. I don't think I've ever gotten that question before. I'm trying to think of what superhero I would care to see in a wrestling match or a fight against a wrestler. Well, we kind of already got one, didn't we? We got one in the Spider-Man movie. We had Bonesaw McGraw, or what was he? Bonesaw McGraw against Peter Parker. So we technically already got one. I don't know. I like Batman, obviously. I'm a Batman guy here. So, you know, Batman against who, though? I'm trying to think current roster. I go back to the golden era. Those guys look like cartoon characters. They look like characters out of comic books. So Ultimate Warrior against the Hulk, or, you know, Batman against the Million Dollar Man or something. I mean, Bruce Wayne was kind of the Million Dollar Man. He had that gimmick going. I'm telling you, we already got him, man. Bonesaw and Peter Parker. Punisher against Brock. How about Hulk? Hulk against Brock. What about Bane? Actually, no. Who was it that broke Superman's back? Is it Doomsday? Maybe Brock Lesnar against Doomsday? Dorenzo, hey Solo. I saw Halloween Kills in cinema last night, and damn, I was disappointed. The editing was really bad to me. Well, I don't think the editing was the problem with that movie. It had other issues beyond the editing. Yeah, not the worst Halloween movie I've ever seen, but also far from the best. Old Dirty Sausage, I know this is random, but who do you think will be the first to beat Punk? I kind of hope it's MJF. You know, it was funny you mentioned that, because as much as I look forward to when I was talking about Punk and MJF, I kind of see it either being MJF or Omega. I think it's going to be one of those two. Food Hive. Solid Monster dressed like Karrion Kross on Raw. Well, this is a lot cooler than the Karrion Kross mask. If Karrion Kross came to the ring with this, he'd be a lot more over right now. Level 20 Factotum. Even though he is still new to the company, do you think Bryan Danielson's run so far has been much better than in WWE? I know it is an unfair question. It is an unfair question. I mean, Bryan accomplished a lot in WWE. In spite of whatever obstacles they may have, you know, put in front of him, he had quite the career for himself there. I mean, he headlined WrestleMania and won 2 championships. He wrestled and beat some of the biggest names in the company. So to say that his run in 2 months is better than what he did in WWE, I think is just unfair. I don't think that's true at all. I don't know that we have to compare the two. I think he ended up having a very good run in WWE, and I think his run so far in AEW, it's been brief, but I think it's been excellent. He has had a flawless run so far. I don't think comparing it to WWE is fair. I don't think it's really necessary to do that. Marcus the Entertainer. Have you seen the trailers for the new Batman? If so, what are your thoughts? I saw one trailer that had the back of Batman's head. I don't know if more has been released. I really didn't see enough of it to really make an opinion or form an opinion on it. Maybe there's another trailer I didn't see yet. I feel like what I saw was the teaser, though. So maybe I'm just behind on the trailers. EJ Slemp, we all know your favorite horror are slashers, but what about your favorite horror monsters? I love slasher movies, but I think monster movies are better. It's one of the reasons I love Cloverfield. I love the Cloverfield, the whole Cloverfield marketing campaign leading up to the first movie got me hooked on the idea of this giant monster just stampeding over New York. I live in New York, so when I saw that movie for the first time, I'm like, oh, I know that place, you know, I'm in the city every day. It just hit differently. And you see him on the Brooklyn Bridge, big tail comes down. I like monster movies too. I was never really a big King Kong or Godzilla guy, but, you know, Cloverfield and, I don't know, would The Blob be considered a monster? I guess it would be, right? Would that be a monster movie? The Blob, The Thing? You know, those are more the kind of movies that I tend to like. Jeffrey Hall, they need to push Mike Seidel. Well, Mike Seidel is apparently storyline injured, so they can't really do anything with him if he's not on TV. Hulkling 93, I've always felt a real submission. Oh, one of our new super chats. Look at that. Stay Puft Marshmallow Man. Boy, did that drive a lot of people crazy on Wednesday. Ooh, a lot of angry people. A lot of angry people. But Hulkling says, I've always felt a real submission specialist could win with several holds, not just one, that being their finisher. I love that Brian is showcasing that. It's one of the things I love about his run so far. He won his match over Nick Jackson a few weeks ago with the cattle mutilation. Where usually the cattle mutilation would be a setup move. So he's, again, won every single one of his matches in different ways. It's one of the things that I've really come to appreciate about his matches so far, is that there's nothing really repetitive. I mean, the kicks and the chops, those get repetitive. But I think as far as building to a big finish, we haven't seen any repetitive finishes so far. It's like he's trying to go out of his way to come up with creative ways to end each of his matches. I'd like to see more people do that. Jason Case with the $5 super chat. What is your top three Friday the 13th movies? Jason X is my favorite, and I believe it is very underrated. Jason X is good in... It's good in a weird way. It's not a good movie. But it has probably my favorite kill of the entire franchise. So how do you reconcile that? How do you reconcile one of the worst Jason movies with the fact that it has the best kill of the entire series? What was it? The nitrous... I forgot what it's called. You know, the face freeze. If you saw the movie, you know what I'm thinking. I forgot the name of the chemical. So, I don't hate the movie. It's one of my guilty pleasure movies. Jason X is one of my guilty pleasures. I don't want to sit here and try to convince you that Jason in space was a great idea, because again, it was not. But I still maintain it has the best kill of the entire series. Hit that like button, by the way. Let's get those likes up if we can. Here on the stream. Liquid nitrogen, thank you. That's what I was thinking of, liquid nitrogen. Joseph Brooks. By the way, I think they did a Mythbusters on that once. I believe they did a Mythbusters on whether or not that would actually happen if you put someone's face in liquid nitrogen, if you could just smash it into a million pieces like that. The answer is no, by the way. Joseph, buy, rent, or sell on which of these heel runs was far too short, but still great in that short period of time. Shawn Michaels in 2005, Batista in 2010, or Hollywood Rock? Boy, you know, all of those were way, 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 way too short. You know, Hollywood Rock was so great. And there were still a lot of, I think, great potential matches left for him. I probably would go Hollywood Rock, and then Shawn, and then Batista. So that would be my buy, rent, and sell order. Andy Jonathan! What's going on, Andy? Andy, you make me think of Child's Play. When I think of the name Andy, I always think of Chucky. What do you think about having Pac swerve the Lucha Bros and join Andrade and Malakai Black instead of vice versa? I don't think he has to. Pac always struck me as more of a loner type character anyway. Even him being part of Death Triangle is still kind of weird to me. So, I see Random just joined the stream here. Either that or he's a little slow. Because you look a little different tonight, Solomon. I think this is an improvement for me. Baba Booey, the $5 super chat. Adam Cole against John Silver is going to be a banger. Looking forward to next week. Profane Gaming. I want a segment where a heel is interviewed by Mark Henry. They try to take the mic like they do from Tony, but they can't get it from his iron grip. Ojali Burgos, Mets fan rooting for the Braves. How times have changed. I thought SmackDown was fun even without Roman. Excited for Shotzi. Yeah, they turned Shotzi Blackheart heel on SmackDown tonight. But I thought that tonight, because I did watch SmackDown, and I'll have my SmackDown thoughts on the show on Sunday. But I didn't think overall it was a very good show, and it really illustrated the trouble that they would be in if they didn't have Roman Reigns. You know, it's fine to have Roman off the show every now and then, but when he's not there, and he is not kind of the center of attention of the show, you see how really weak they are in terms of main event, heels or baby faces, really. When he is not on the show, it's very noticeable. And not in a good way. Bob the Builder, thank you for the super chat, man. I appreciate it. Nir Roth, happy Halloween, Solo Maniacs. Much love from Israel. Well, thank you, Nir. Joining us from halfway around the world. Quintus Brown, they should do that tag team match on the December 8th Dynamite at UBS Arena on Long Island. Great point. That's going to be a big show. Maybe that's going to be their big December episode of Dynamite. You know, I saw the WWE really struggling to sell tickets to Raw because Raw is going to be there about a week before AEW comes to that building. It's a brand new arena out on Long Island, and WWE gets the building first. They're really struggling to move tickets. So even though it's a Monday Night Raw, they added Roman Reigns to that show. And I guess that hasn't really helped too much. And so now I saw today they're doing a 2-for-1 deal, where you buy one ticket, you get one free. They're really trying to get people into that building, and they are not having a lot of luck. And meanwhile, AEW, I think, has sold somewhere in the range of 7 or 8, maybe close to 9,000 tickets already for the show. Well, you know, to do that in the New York market, which was always, you know, kind of WWE country, is quite the black eye for WWE. Alex Jimenez, dropping $5. WrestleMania 31, Roman Reigns lost. WrestleMania 34, Roman Reigns lost. WrestleMania 38, hopefully a win. By the way, Danielson versus Cole, please. You'll get it. It's coming. Bryan Danielson and Adam Cole is coming. You just got to be patient. Ojali dropping another $5. Also, what is your favorite You People promo from WWE? And may you please do a You People promo as Tony D'Angelo. A You People promo. I mean, are we just talking about promos where they heel on the fans? I don't know, Becky Lynch tried that a few years ago when they really wanted her to go heel, and it kind of backfired. Didn't really work. I don't know. I mean, I don't really think of any particular "you people" promo. I mean, if Tony D'Angelo was doing it, he'd be like, "You people! You people don't understand the business that I'm in. We work hard. I got a lot of cousins out there making collections. Offering protection. Down at the Bing." You know, when I'm not even going to say it. I'm going to get myself in trouble. I'm not even going to say it. Chambly Games, I'm going to spend Halloween night playing the original Resident Evil 2. By the way, Punisher versus Cactus Jack would be insane. That would be, actually. That would be a most interesting match. Cactus Jack against Punisher. I think we all know who would win that. Would not be Cactus Jack. Abanov, if Jay White came to AEW, who would his first feud be? Depends if he's a heel or a babyface. I almost think he would have to be a heel. It wouldn't feel right for Jay White to come in and be anything but a heel. Jay White, his first feud? Man, I would want to see him in there against Punk or Danielson. Either one. Either one of them. Punk or Danielson. I might go with Danielson first. Could do Punk later on. BG Thrilla, technical work rate productions suck. Solo, you're awesome. Stay safe. Marcus the Entertainer. What if Austin and Brett had a rematch at WrestleMania 14? I've always said, if Brett didn't get screwed over the way he was in Montreal, and they kept the championship on him, it would have been Brett doing the honors for Steve Austin at WrestleMania 14. Because he never did. In the matches they had, you know, Austin never did get that pinfall win over Brett. I think Brett would have done the honors for Austin and put him over in the main event in Boston at WrestleMania that year. EJ Slemp, what is your favorite Stephen King movie? You've probably shared it before, but I can't remember. Christine is one that doesn't get talked about enough. I know the whole premise of it is ridiculous, but Christine is one that really stands out to me. Cat's Eye. Was Cat's Eye Stephen King? I feel like it was. I always liked Cat's Eye. It's a whole bunch of different stories in one. Back when, you know, James Woods could actually find work. I mean, those are the ones that I kind of like the most. Yeah, you know, I might go with those. I'm sure I'm forgetting a few. I'm more of a John Carpenter guy, honestly, than Stephen King. So, you know, you mentioned The Shining and stuff like that. I know there are certain classics, but I'm not as big of a fan of those, or, you know, Cujo, as somebody mentioned. I'm not as much a fan of those as some other people are. Cat's Eye was Stephen King. Yeah, Cat's Eye is a favorite of mine. I like Cat's Eye. Ryan Spies. Apparently Abaddon was legit in gimmick the entire Jericho cruise. Gotta respect the commitment to the gimmick. Wow. Well, I was in full gimmick on the cruise last year. Do I not get any credit? Even though the cowardly Cassidy was on the cruise this year, but not last year, because he knew I was on the cruise last year. Coward. Yeah, Pet Sematary is not my thing. Not a fan of that. Shout out to Fawaz. I took his sign from Crown Jewel, made it a super chat, so it will live on. It will live on forever when somebody donates here on the super chats. So if Fawaz is watching or listening to this on the down low, thank you again, brother. Off Leather Wings with the $4.99 super chat. I was talking to my cousin who knows nothing about WWE. He was surprised about the concept of matches. He said, oh, they do rematches in WWE? Wait a minute. He was surprised by the concept of matches. Does he not know what WWE is? What else would they be called? Your cousin is, I don't know. Your cousin's a little weird. You know, people are mentioning Shawshank Redemption, and I had forgotten that he was, you know, his connection to that. I love Shawshank. Shawshank's a great movie. I'm thinking more in terms of, like, horror, though. Horror, thriller. Although I guess you could say crawling through a tunnel of shit is kind of the thing of nightmares. But he crawled through a tunnel of shit to his freedom. So in the end, it was actually a happy story. Hulkling 93 with the $5 super chat. To piggyback on your point about Brian's ever-changing finishes, it reminds me of how Brett always wanted to come up with different finishes. One of the things I love the most about the King of the Ring pay-per-view in 1993, my all-time favorite pay-per-view. And Brett won 3 matches that night. Every single one of those matches, he won with a different move. Now, that was not his idea. Because he mentioned that in his book. He said Pat Patterson told him, don't win any of your matches with the sharpshooter. And I don't even think he knew why. He's like, okay, it's kind of weird. So he had to go come up with like a different finish for every single one of those matches. But I think it actually made it better. You know, because he just, every match had its own distinct identity. The second round match against Kurt Hennig was the best of the bunch. But every one of those matches ended in a different way. They all ended via pinfall. EJ, how about Captain America against Kevin Owens? It's kind of random. I don't know. Is there Kevin Owens against Captain America? Is that like USA against Canada? Is that what we're doing here? Oh, God, Misery. Yeah, now you guys are really jogging my memory here. Misery, also an excellent movie. I saw Misery on Broadway a few years ago. It was very good. Drew Johnson, who's ready for story time with Adam Cole, baby? I'm always ready for a good story. Quintus Brown, did you hear Moose's promo from Impact yesterday? I did not. I did not see this week's episode of Impact. I did hear that he cut a promo. I did not hear it. I did not see it, so I cannot comment on it. Although, I did see a tweet from Moose, who I guess was kind of going out of character for a second, and said, look, I understand a lot of people are upset about what I said in the promo, but please stop sending me racist, you know, horrible messages. I guess a bunch of fucking idiots were messaging racist shit and just dumb comments to him because people are fucking morons. So that's kind of shitty. Lakers Pats, do you wear pants while doing the streams? I will leave that up to your imagination about what I'm wearing. Would Batman wear pants? He was at the Batcave. Ace of Masta, Orange fears Solomonster. Yes, he does. Boots! Joker watch along with the Solomonster. What say you? I'm not sold on this whole watch along concept. Jason Case, what is your opinion on Rose Red by Stephen King? I haven't seen it, haven't read it, if it's one of his books. Don't know what it's about. Therefore, can't comment on it. Magician Sapphire, dropping 5. I don't know if you're an anime fan. I'm not. But he says, Perfect Blue is a great psychological horror movie. I do not watch anime. But I will take your word for it. I will trust your judgment that it is a great psychological horror movie. So if you are an anime fan, there you go. Perfect Blue. Perfect Blue. And I think we're all caught up. on your messages. Yes, indeed. Doodless Maximus says, thanks for all your content. Been listening since 2008. Holy shit. He's one of our longtime diehards. Thank you, brother. Thank you for sticking with me. One of my favorite super chats. Yeah, Born Sinner in the chat says, have not heard a peep from Robin in a minute. Yeah, I think he may have, passed out. Maybe I should have poked some holes in the door. That's all right. We'll take care of it after. Chambly Games, Superman against Super Cena. Tuxedo T Servo, didn't you do a watch along for a Rampage? I did. That's why I'm still not sold on doing them ever again. It was good as like a one-time gimmick, but I just feel like better to do the whole post-show wrap-up, you know, focus on the show, and then, you know, do the review all at once. Boots with the $5. Who's the next person in AEW who gives away their shoes? I don't know. What is with some of these questions? My goodness. Now, EJ, I didn't skip yours. I see it. Don't worry about it. I got you, buddy. I got you. I'm building to it. I'm building. I'm saving you for the main event. Look at this. Now he's shouting at me. Now I'm really not going to read it. Angel Martinez, thank you for the sub. Welcome to the channel. EJ says, have you ever seen In the Mouth of Madness? I hear it is John Carpenter's most polarizing movie. I just saw In the Mouth of Madness for the first time about 6 months ago. I was not really a fan of it. It was not terrible, but I had heard that it was one of his better, maybe even one of his best movies. I didn't feel that way when it was over. I was kind of bored through certain parts of it, so count me among the ones who are not a fan of In the Mouth of Madness. The Mist. The Mist is another very good movie. Didn't they remake that one too? I guess at some point everything gets remade. I mean, even the movie that Carpenter did The Thing in 82, even that wasn't the first Thing movie that there was. Although I think it was the best. Dorenzo, did you know Friday the 13th Part 5 was directed by an adult entertainer director? I could tell by the quality of the movie. So that's one of the reasons why I'm not a fan of it. Now it all makes sense. Paul Heyman, with Kevin Steen's contract coming up, much like Adam Cole, is this yet another semen mess? Come on now. You have disgusted Batman. I hope you're proud of yourself. One of your weaker efforts, Paul Heyman. Looks like the Michael Keaton mask to me. Well, Michael Keaton is the best Batman. The Dark Knight is the best Batman movie. But Michael Keaton is still my favorite Batman. Drew Russell says Part 5, Friday the 13th Part 5, has the most nudity. Yeah, but it doesn't have Jason. Andrew Hernandez, thank you for the sub. Yep, Big Trouble in Little China, Escape from New York, Carpenter Classics, absolutely. I just rewatched Escape from New York about a month ago, actually. I saw Escape from L.A. before I ever saw Escape from New York. I was so confused about a few things, but I enjoyed it. I actually liked Escape from L.A. Everybody else shits on it because they watched the original and they compared it to the original. I didn't have anything to compare it to. So when I saw Escape from L.A. in college for the first time, I was watching it at night. It was probably like 1 o'clock in the morning or something, and it came on cable. I said, you know what? This is a pretty cool movie. Marcus the Entertainer says Michael Keaton is returning for the Flash movie. That, you know what? That's what I was referring to. The movie trailer, the teaser that I saw. I know the movie isn't coming out for another year. That's what I saw. I think that's what I saw. The back of Batman's head. The Coug 97. You don't like Adam West as Batman? No, I like Adam West as Batman. I just, he's not my favorite, though. When I grew up, though, I was watching Batman with Adam West and Dick, what was the guy's name? The guy who played Robin, Dick, he was a dick. Forgot his name. Dick Warlock or something. Dick Burton, Dick Blood, Dickhead, whatever the fuck his name was. I forgot his actual last name. But, I used to watch Batman and Robin when I was a kid, absolutely. Burt Ward. I was thinking of Dick Grayson. Okay. Yeah, Dickhead is not his name. Although Dickhead would be funnier. All right, I think we're caught up on all of your super chats. I want to thank everybody who took the time here on this Halloween edition of the Rampage stream to donate and show their love and support for the channel and for the streams and for what I do. It means a lot to me. And I am going to scoot on over to the Twitter poll one more time. That is where things stand. Again, at Solomonster. Please follow me on there. And we are going to be the booker right after I read this super chat here from Marcus the Entertainer, who wants to keep me around for another few seconds. Marcus wants to keep me around. There is an entire new Batman movie with two full-length trailers. It's like Batman meets Seven. Riddler is the villain. Okay, I did not see those trailers yet. That's what that person was asking me about earlier, so I'm going to have to check those out. Danny DeVito. Yeah, that Batman movie is not one of my favorites. He did an amazing job in the role as the Penguin. I think Paul Heyman would make a great Penguin. Not our Paul Heyman, the Paul Heyman. I think Paul Heyman would make a great Penguin, the way that he kind of waddles around. You know, kind of looks like Vito from The Sopranos when he was at his heaviest, the way he would waddle around everywhere. Paul Heyman would make a great Penguin in a Batman movie. I believe that. I really do. I think with his acting ability, his promo ability, and his waddling ability, I think he would make a fantastic Penguin. Even Eric Bischoff, if you go back to the first One Night Stand pay-per-view in 2005, one of the moments that really made me laugh out loud is when Bischoff is up in the balcony at the Hammerstein, and Paul Heyman is cutting the promo in the ring, looking up at JBL, saying, you know, the only reason you were WWF champion for a year is because Triple H didn't want to work Tuesdays. And then he goes to leave, and as he's walking out, as Atlas Security is escorting Heyman out of the building, the camera cuts over to Bischoff, and he's like mocking Heyman. He's going, durr. He's like this. I fucking died the first time I saw that. Because it's so true. He waddles like a penguin. Boots, did you play the Rocksteady Batman video games? No. I played Arkham Asylum. This is many years ago. I think on the PC I played it for a little bit. And I was no good, so I stopped playing it. I don't know if that was a Rocksteady game, though. All right, it is time to be the booker. And I figure this time we'll start out with the ladies. We have one for the men, one for the women. Just like WWE. They have one Royal Rumble for the men. They have one Royal Rumble for the women. They have a King of the Ring. They have a Queen of the Ring. I mean, we got to be fair here on these streams. So, let's go ahead and pick ourselves a all-women's WrestleMania main event. See what we land on here. A lot of names here on this GIF. And the first person we land on is Aaliyah. Well, shit. Aaliyah. They called up Aaliyah, but they did not call up Dakota Kai. They called up Aaliyah, but they did not call up LA Knight from NXT. Who will Aaliyah be wrestling in the main event of WrestleMania? Will be Aaliyah going one-on-one with the boss, Sasha Banks? I don't know what I did there. Ignore that. We pick Sasha. We can't pick Asuka. Sasha. Sasha and Aaliyah. Well, look, if anybody can give Aaliyah a good match, it's Sasha Banks. But that ain't no WrestleMania main event, folks. That's for damn sure. With that, we move over to the men. Let's see what the men's main event is going to be for WrestleMania. Hoping we can at least have one good match. Can we get one good one this week, please? CM Punk is finally going to get his WrestleMania main event. Look at this. Look at this. It only took, what, 12 years? CM Punk is in the main event of WrestleMania. I did what Vince McMahon never had the balls to do. Now we got to pick an opponent for him. CM Punk will be going one-on-one. Come on. Ah. CM Punk against Elias. But wait. Elias has been attacked by the Batman. And now he is being replaced. And I'm not putting Elias in the WrestleMania main event. You can get the fuck out of here with that. So now he's been injured, and who will be taking Elias's place at WrestleMania against CM Punk? It will be the Hurricane. You know what? Fuck this shit. I give up. I was so flustered, I couldn't even find the damn buzzer. Well, that was a fail on the men's side and the women's side. Boy, it's a good thing I'm not booking the territory. I'd book it right into bankruptcy. Dr. NXT Scorpio. Rather watch Jason X than those two main events. That's a great point. I would rather watch Jason in space than watch either of those main events. I think somebody in the chat just compared me to Jim Herd. How dare you? Jim Herd is the one who came up with the ding-dongs. Can't pin their shoulders to the mat because they have... Or maybe that was a different team. The one that with the hunchbacks. You can't pin the hunchbacks because you can't pin their shoulders to the mat so they can never be beaten. Then you had the ding-dongs. He wanted to turn Ric Flair into Spartacus. You're saying I'm worse than that? I take that as a great insult. Well, I want to thank you guys for spending your Friday night with me here for Rampage. This is, of course, the final live stream for the month of October. We had a much better October than we did last year. The channel has grown. The family has grown. The streams have grown by leaps and bounds from where we were 1 year ago. And I'm hoping a year from now it'll be even bigger. And the only way that happens is with your support. And I don't just mean super chats, which are great, but even just hitting the like button here on this video. Hitting the sub button, which doesn't cost you a thing. Or if you want to become a channel member, I thank you in advance for your support for that. Anybody who wants to become a channel member, all you got to do is hit that white join button. It's under every video on this channel. If you click it, it'll give you all the information about the different tiers. And as a message to all of our channel members, again, if you are on the top tier, the Legends tier, brand new retro episode of the show from 2008 went up this afternoon, episode 12 from January 27th, 2008. The reason you see Mike Adamly in that graphic is because we talk about Mike Adamly starting with WWE. And as I went back and I listened to it, my God, the excitement in my voice. If only I knew what was yet to come with Mike Adamly. I sounded so innocent back then. So naive and so innocent. If only I knew. So a lot of really interesting things. Bobby Lashley's surprise exit from WWE. Also took place around that time, and I talked about that too. And part two of the members-only Q&A. Anybody who submitted a question in the thread I put up earlier this week, I have answered all of them unless they came in late. I answered all of them in two parts, well over an hour. Part two went up this afternoon, so some new content for our channel members and more to come in the weeks ahead. So I'll be back with you on Wednesday. Same bat time, same bat channel, although I may not have the mask on at that point. Although I do think it's an improved look for me, I must say. Maybe I'll wear my mask for good. Maybe I'll wear it all the time. Like Carmella with that stupid glitter mask that she's been wearing on SmackDown, right? This will be my new mask. 2 weeks from tonight, there will be no Rampage stream. And the reason there will be no Rampage stream in 2 weeks is because that is the return of House of Glory. And for the first time in 2 years, I'm going to be back on commentary, and I'm very much looking forward to it. We have a big main event, The Amazing Red one-on-one against Will Ospreay, the uncrowned IWGP heavyweight champion coming to New York. And actually, it's a pretty loaded card. A lot of other names in the card as well. Rocky Romero is going to be joining us that night. A lot of good stuff planned. And I am looking forward to getting back in the saddle. But that show is on a Friday, so there will be no Rampage stream in 2 weeks. November 12th. Just be aware of that. All right, guys. Be well. Stay safe. Enjoy your Halloween, whatever your Halloween plans are. And I will see you back here for the Dynamite stream on Wednesday night. Check out episode 728 coming up on Sunday. I'm going to have a lot more on Ring of Honor and the other news and notes of the week. Until then, take care, guys.